Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
As they always say, good things must come to an end. And what a ride it's been for the road tripping crew. As we say our final goodbyes, as the originals, we thought it only be appropriate to have one last listen back to how much fun we had. From the laughs to the in-depth insight to the most random off-the-wall shit you could think of, we remind you of how much fun we had here. Some of our favorites and what will forever be known as the best of road tripping with RJ and Channing, hosted by Allie Clifton.
Yeah, you're listening to Road Trip with Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye, hosted by Alec Clifton. Now let's clang those glasses together and get this thing started. For all you sexy listeners out there, let's get this thing together. Let's keep it moving. And remember, stay sexy. Road tripping.
This is the first time I ever heard of it. What's Fry Island?
That's where I stand in the corner.
What is Fry Island?
That's where I stand in the corner and the guy can't help anyone and he has to touch me because the coaches are yelling, get to his body, get to his body. And they come and we just talk. We talk about life. Like most of the time in the game, I'm like, hey man, you know you're with me. You can't leave me. He's gonna get a dunk or somebody's gonna get a layup and the guy's like, I know, but you know, this isn't a scatter report. Like I can't really this. And it's like amazing. I'm still shocked that I even get that corner three. Like last game I got it. And I was like,
Fry Island started because when we're going away from our bench, he's in the left corner, so that's right next to their bench. So their whole bench and coaching staff are sitting there. Don't leave him. Stay right next to him. Now, mind you, Channing's 8 feet, like 2 feet from their bench, like 3 feet from their bench.
I'm not going anywhere fast.
And they're like, don't leave him. Don't leave him. And every big man still leaves.
They like guys.
It's a natural thing. It's a natural thing.
And I'm like, ah, too late.
And then every time Channing hits the shot, better not leave me. I told you not to leave me. Why are you leaving me?
Don't help. I try to help him. Just come stay out here with me. Let's talk about how you're doing. You know,
Fry Island is amazing for the spacing on the floor. It is amazing for the spacing on the floor. And now, sad though, because now that area has become Kyle Island.
He bullied me out of my corner. I turned into a screener.
You've known him for 20 years?
Yeah.
Why?
Fucking awesome.
Not on purpose.
That's why.
He's been following me around ever since.
Richard, did you commit super early to Arizona?
No, he wasn't that good.
I committed my junior year.
So was he one that was always going up there to try to like?
No.
We told him not to come.
These dudes drove down to my championship game and
who
sat
did?
Front row.
Me,
him, Gilbert, me. Jason Gardner, Luke Walton. All
were you nice like that in
college?
No.
Or high school?
No.
Oh, I got a championship. I got a chip now.
Oh god, you're 7 feet tall. You were the third best player on your high school team.
Really?
That doesn't matter. Yes. I was a late bloomer.
You were the third best player.
There were two little bitty guards that shot the ball. Basically, they were like two Isaiah Thomases. They were twins.
Did they
shot
go
the ball.
Somewhere?
New Mexico State, and then went to Oregon State or something.
Yeah.
But Channing came to Arizona as a project. Channing was trash until his senior
nuts.
Year.
Projected lottery.
When? Your freshman year, sophomore year, junior year? What year?
Senior. Late bloomer. I was 6'9", like 205. Skinny thing, and I didn't lift weights in high school. And then, like, I went from like 205 next year, 215.
Well,
you can stop talking about the weight. Just say I went from 6'9 to 7 feet, and that thing started.
Yeah, I got
about,
I just got 7 feet last year.
Have you ever averaged over a block at any point in your life?
What? Mind you, Arizona.
Oh, you're crazy. He was playing. I used to be out there beating stuff up, man.
He's playing against centers your height. He's playing against centers your height.
We can get the stats right now, big dog.
Rafa can get the
pull
stats.
Pull him up.
In the NBA, you average over a block?
I think I had like
.8. That's close.
That's close.
No, it doesn't go down as a
– Depends if you round up or not.
Who doesn't round up?
The NBA.
At all.
19.9, 9.9 rebounds. That's not that, –
That's 9.9 rebounds.
Yeah, that's not 20 and 10.
Yeah. Damn, that sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. It really does.
2011, 2012.
You average what?
2013, 2014.
You average over a block a game?
Over a block.
Oh, your boy!
No way.
Shut it!
Men lie. First women lie.
Numbers don't lie! Boy, I was up there slapping glass.
Hey, do you ever see, like, National Geographic where there's that big shark? And then there's the little itty-bitty sharks underneath the big shark that,
those
like...
aren't sharks, but keep going.
Oh, they actually are tiny little miniature shark thingies.
Thingies. Shark thingies. What do you say? They're not sharks.
That is me and Richard. So LeBron is the big shark, and guess what? LeBron needs us to pick the ticks off him.
Oh, geez. How about our guy, Shump?
Do you have bang out, Shannon?
I got at least two.
We have your crossover, too.
Oh, no. I see the crossover. Oh,
pull the rim down. Don't look at this. Look at this. What am I doing?
Never seen it.
Oh, no. He kicked my foot. Look. What was that mean?
You threw yourself.
Do you guys know what happened?
I don't think they can hear us.
Can they hear us?
You
still dunking.
No, they can't hear us. They can hear you.
Do you see the psycho?
He didn't want to jump, though, dog.
Channing, you kicked your own foot.
Yeah, that's the new style. Listen, I was going to jump up so high, I was going to hurt my knee on the way down.
Oh, Jesus.
So I said, let's limit this. Limit the athleticism, just dunk it, and run back on defense. We're already up by 20. We're all good.
So the fact that everyone gives me stuff for roasting you,
yeah.
But that's the type of stuff that we see on a daily basis. You kicked your own foot
going up for a dunk. I looked at the ref like,
you thought
he made it trippy.
I have to say, though, he still dunked after ripping himself. That's pretty good.
You legitimately thought you got fouled.
I sort of got it.
Is this the first time you've seen it?
Yeah, I don't watch that.
He's like, wait, he kicked my foot. Oh, wait, that was me kicking
my
foot.
Yeah, see, what happened was, this is exactly what happened. I was on the bench for a while. We're balling. I came back in. The ankle moves weren't, look, didn't get enough dorsiflexion. And then, boom, when I went to explode, the leg wasn't ready. I didn't do enough exercises on the sideline.
Oh, it's
Derek's fault.
It's
my fault. I should have been ready. Should have been jump roping on the side or something.
Really? That's what you're going to do? Jump rope?
Riding the bike?
The bike? Yeah, no, that's Kev's.
I ran enough of the bike. God, yeah,
you kicked your own. I don't think I've ever seen that.
But wait a second. Did you not see how hard I grabbed that rim?
But you're so.
Wait, if you keep going, watch me look at the ref like, hey,
yeah,
man.
Is there a react? Yeah.
You kicked your own.
Look at this. Explode. Hold on.
Oh, my God. Well,
you're still dunking, though. I got to give you that.
That was so cool. Like, if I was a skateboarder, would that have been like an ollie?
No.
Would the skateboard have, like, flipped up? Like, one of those
twisties? You would have eaten it. That's what would have happened if you were a skateboarder. But, no, I do. Hey. I got a lot of respect. And, ladies and gentlemen, people always wonder, what's it like to be 7 foot? When you are 7 feet tall, you can kick your own leg and still dunk. You know, if you guys want to know what it's like.
Only Channing, Mr. Bangout himself, can make dunking, kicking, impacting all at once, not just happen, but look so athletic. That's, of course, why we love you, Channing. But for you, our listeners, we know it's time for a little change of pace. You need to breathe. We get it. How about a reminder, then, of the Hall of Famer and future Hall of Famer who gave us their time?
Fun fact, me and Tim Duncan used to be in the same guild in World of Warcraft.
We did, really?
Nerd alert.
Yeah, we were.
We're serious. How serious was Andrei Kirilenko, though?
Yeah, no, he had like four or five maxed out players. Yes, he just like he was crazy.
Money wise, World of Warcraft at the time was like the hottest thing out.
Yeah,
he had guys he could have sold upwards of $100,000 each.
That's
people pay for characters. So the amount of time he put in, he had about 8 of the highest level characters ever.
And I can't believe his game went down.
I remember I was going to get a DMP and we were playing Utah and it was 3 a.m. and all of a sudden he's like, you see his character run across. He's like, Channing, what's up? And I'm like, don't you play tomorrow? He goes, yeah, probably. And I'm like,
yeah, that was all of us though. Oh, yeah. We were all on the 3-4 in the morning.
That's so true. You were playing. I was getting them DMPs.
No, that game was a life sucker.
I never got. So I played the original. The original Warcraft, which I really liked, but I never got into the World of Warcraft. That to me, just I don't know. It just screamed virgin.
What was your name again?
Dookie Drolls. Hey, and so like my guy was a torrent hunter, right? And so that
you keep looking at me and directing this to me. I have no idea what you're talking about.
So then
about.
I just pets. You can have a pet, right? So if and my pet snake's name was like, I can't tell you the pet snake.
Yes, you can. Tell us.
Dick Puncher. Yo, man. Oh, man. So I would yell, like, you can talk on there. Like, get him, Dick Puncher. And, like, you see. I'm so glad you guys are laughing as hard as I used to laugh, just yelling at me. Like, get him, Dick Puncher. And, like,
The long, strange trip with Bill Walton.
Hey, here we go. Cleveland, rock and roll. LeBron James, Little Sean. Yeah, Channing, where'd he go tonight? Richard Jefferson, our fifth son. Richard, what a great thing to see you so happy. The world champion, playing in these sellout crowds every single night. The traveling circus at the Cleveland Cavaliers. Let's go. Nothing is better for an old guy like me, old and in the way, 64, to see one of his children come and just do so well, to wear that championship ring, to have his two children, and to be out there with LeBron and Kyrie and T. Luby and the coach. And it's just so fantastic. And these fans here, oh my gosh. I have been so lucky, RJ, to be on some of the great teams in basketball history. So I know how much fun you're having. Yes. I can just see it in your face, and you've just done so magnificently well. And I can remember this moment in my life when Luke was a senior in high school, and he came home from his first recruiting trip ever. He had others trip scheduled, one to UCLA, and I think Kansas and Kentucky and Duke. And he comes home from his very first trip, which was to Tucson, Arizona. And I picked him up at the airport, and he got off the plane, and he said, Dad, you know, I have these other four trips scheduled to all these other schools. I said, yeah. He said, cancel them, Dad. because when I went to Tucson, I met this guy. And his name was Richard Jefferson, Dad.
Oh, boy.
That's what I want to do with the rest of my life. I want to spend the rest of my life with Richard. And I want to be on a special team. And this guy, Richard, is from Phoenix. And, Dad, I know we're from San Diego. And, Dad, I know how you always talk about Arizona and everything in the Grand Canyon State. And I know how much you love Lute Olson. But, Dad, I really love Richard Jefferson. And it was so fantastic. And then you became part of the family, and yes, all the other Wildcats would come over. And then the time, oh, it was so fantastic. Because then you moved on, and yeah, you became one of the $100 million players out of the Wildcat program. And here you all were with all the different guys coming in, and Gilbert Arenas and Damon Stoudemire and all the different guys in the history of that program. I mean, the Arizona Wildcats, that program, the guys who graduated from there and gone on to the NBA, you guys have combined to make more than $1.2 billion in the course of your career. So, but regardless of that, you would all come back to San Diego, to our house in San Diego in the summertime, yes, and you'd be there, and we had beds everywhere. So Lori and I, we'd wake up in the morning. I'm a lot earlier riser than Lori is. I mean, if she's up by noon, we're really lucky, right? So Lori would come out of the bedroom in the back there in the late, late morning, and she'd see all you guys just lying around on the floor out there on the couches and in the beds, and she'd look around and said, you're making $100 million in the NBA. You're making $70 million. You're making $30 million. Now, come on. How about getting a hotel? How about buying your own house? And then you went and you did buy your own
house.
Then
we bought our own house.
And it was fantastic. And you bought that place in Rancho Santa Fe. And I remember to this moment, it was so clear. We sat there on the veranda at the Rancho Santa Fe Inn. We tried to talk you out of it. And you guys said, no, we're going to do this, Dad. And so you bought this beautiful estate with fences and everything around it, a big pool. We put in a great garden. And it was just so much fun. And I remember you had a teepee there.
Yes, we had a teepee.
And then, so we asked you, like, what was the plan? What was the goal?
And you and Luke looked at us in unison, and you said, our goal is to make this house the Playboy Mansion.
Speaking of being sarcastic, remember we used to give up things for Lent?
Right?
Why are you already laughing?
You remember this?
I had just gotten here, struggling a little bit, and so he changed the starting lineup, had me coming off the bench. And so Pop, as like not in any religious form, but in a kind of a practice of what would be the right word? Practice of discipline. Thanks, Rob. He put out on the bus, everybody, give up something for Lent for 40 days. So it could be sweets, it could be this, it could be whatever it is. So I got back to the bus and I wrote, starting. And I showed Tim.
You won that year.
I definitely won. I showed Tim. He's crying, and I'm like, Tim, should I send it up there? I was a little nervous. I was like, I don't know if he'll get to it. You're like, definitely send it up there. Oh, and I push it right up to the front of the bus. I was like.
And what happened?
I don't know if he found He definitely found it as funny as I did, but he never let on.
Now, Richard may have given up starting for the legend coach, Greg Popovich, but he still hasn't given up the game. Do y'all see the way he introduced himself to his Denver teammates the other day? Damn, Rich. If only La Flama Blanco Kyle Korver cared to give his evaluation of that, just like he did with Hall of Famer AI.
Do you have any good AI stories?
Now this is a let me first just give you a little bit.
Yeah.
You can say whatever you want. No one's listening. Okay.
That's the best part about this. No one's listening.
Like 5 followers.
Yeah. So
I mean there's 1,000 yes. stories, right?
Okay, like, well we got time.
Which way do you go? So I think first off, AI was great.
He's a great teammate.
He was great. I really give him a ton of credit for me, like in those early years, just like he really wanted me to shoot the ball. Like he's not like Bron is now. Like he really is for you and really is trying to put you in a position to do well. And I think as a young guy coming in as a second round pick to have someone like him, kind of be there for me like that was huge for me. But a story about AI. I mean, everyone talks about the practice interview,
yeah.
right? And that was epic, amazing. But there was one that I thought was almost better. And it was it doesn't get near the love, and it was there was like a falling out with Chris Forrest. We started with Randy Ayers as our coach. He got fired after like, I don't know, a month and a half. And Chris Ford was our coach for the rest of the year, and then for All-Star break, Coach Ford was like, if you're not back for practice a certain time, you're not going to play or start the next game.
Yeah.
You're not going to start the next game. Yeah. He was really talking to AI, right? The rest of us were going to be there. and so AI, he just didn't come. Like, it wasn't that he wasn't there. He just didn't come at all. And so the next game was our game in Denver. And
that was
when he
was like, what MVP do you know comes off the bench? Was that the one?
Don't ruin the story.
Oh, I know. I had a flashback. I'm sorry. Yeah. I apologize.
Hey, don't ruin it.
So we were playing Denver, and he and Coach Ford was just like, you're not going to start. He's like, well, I'm not going to play. He's like, okay. And so then the next day we were like in Memphis, and we practiced it. Where did we practice in Memphis back then? It was like some little high school gym or something. They didn't have a practice field yet.
The Martin Luther King Jr. gym?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I don't know.
It's true.
Yeah. No, that's not true. That's not true. You're lying. You're lying. You just made up something.
Anyway.
It's actually a YMCA.
You don't know.
I do know that. They took the tour. We took a tour with them.
They took a tour of the YMCA? Shut up. Okay.
Can we
let him finish?
Okay, go ahead.
Keep going.
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. So we're in this gym, and you know, he comes up to do his interview, and he's like – So I'm standing, like, I'm kind of like behind him, and I'm pretending like I'm shooting baskets. Like,
they're pretending.
Because I want to hear everything that he's saying, right? So I'm like shooting like 2-foot shots, just like working on my form so that I can hear him. He's like, I don't know no former 8-time scoring champ that come off the bench. I don't know no former 10-time All-Star that come off the bench. I don't know no former MVP. That come off the bench. I don't know no former Olympian that come off the bench. And this dude read his whole resume right off, right? Why is it always Allen Iverson's fault? I was like, this is amazing. And it got no love. I was surprised that you had heard it.
I remember it
wasn't picked up on SportsCenter. It wasn't anything. I'm like, this is the best interview I've ever heard in my whole life.
Oh, God.
He's so funny.
That's so good.
Hugh impersonated that moment so well, Kyle. But have you ever heard Channing give an interview? Ever hear how many pairs of underwear he packs for a road trip? Or how about the new nickname he and RJ have been given? Wait, one more. How about how Kevin feels about being a middle child?
The best is when you ask the group, you're like, so if we play one game, like it's a back-to-back, so we play at home, we get on the plane, we go to Detroit, and Channing was like, yeah, I just wear sweatsuits. And she was like, do you pack extra underwear? And Channing was like, no. And it was like,
That episode is coming soon with Kevin.
First of all, that's not true. That. I said I don't pack extra socks.
You don't pack it. No, you said pack one pair of underwear.
Here's the question. Yeah. My question was, you guys have a game on a Friday night here at home.
That's exactly.
We travel.
At home, yeah.
Yeah, we travel. So you leave right after. We go to, for instance, the city was
Detroit,
Boston.
Whatever, yeah.
And Detroit. You play in Boston, and then we come home the next night.
Right.
How many pairs of underwear do you pack?
One.
No, this is going to say, you're going to say something right now. You said that you said you have your underwear.
Right.
Then we go to the meeting. So you'll wear a tights.
Oh,
to
yeah, go yeah, work yeah. Out. Because I work out in the morning.
You work out in the morning, you wear the tights.
Okay,
so
not
take
that
off
people need to know. I don't wear underwear when I sleep, dog. I wear shorts.
Not that people need to know. You just told everyone.
You just told the world.
What's the image?
You like this? You like this?
Go ahead. Visualize. That's like it's live now. Look at it.
So
no carbs this week, girls.
So then after you go work out, you take a shower and then you put back on said underwear. So you only bring one pair of underwear.
Maybe.
No, maybe. It's a yes.
Is it cold or hot?
Oh, jeez, I'm done.
Wait, by the question, is it a clean pair, or just the one you're wearing you bring?
So if I put on a pair of underwear.
that makes a big
question.
Difference.
It
just
does.
One.
Here's a serious question. If I put on a pair of underwear at 3.
To come to the arena.
To come to the arena. Uh-huh. I wear them for said 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I take them off.
You don't have to give me your underwear usage rate.
No. I put them on for another 2 hours, take them off again.
How do you like to sleep?
Just say I like to feel the cover, especially if the good covers. Like, thread count matters a lot to me. You know, if they're the good thread count, I might get naked in there. But, you know, if they're the rough kind, I got to put some short. I can't have it on the skin now. Listen, I can't have chafing or nothing.
See, only private school kids talk about thread counts.
Right?
That's cool.
Listen, thread count is huge, though. I don't know. Listen, when's the last time you've been to Pier 1 Imports or Bed Bath & Beyond? You got some stuff that feels like straight water on your body. So then I put a different pair of underwear on to work out, take a shower, eat, sleep, and then why not put those same underwear on?
Well, I do see guys wearing the exact same clothes on the bus
all
day.
A bit much.
No,
I'll change my outfit.
It's not too much. It's not too much.
You guys have all done that once. I know you have.
I don't.
This year you did.
No,
this year.
Uh-huh. When? That, when?
No.
No, I don't wear.
Keep the
draws.
I'm not afraid to go commando to a game. I don't care.
Yeah, no.
Chang, don't let them affect our friendship because now that peanut butter and jelly are together, right?
Who doesn't like peanut butter and jelly?
Who doesn't like?
I don't like jelly. Actually, I think it's disgusting.
What are Channing and Richard? What did you guys give yourselves?
Poop and pee. You know why? You want me to explain that? Because every time you poop, you have to pee.
Yeah,
you can't do one without the other.
You can't call it
poop and pee.
Dude, that's hilarious.
Poop and pee. Can we get soup and sandwich or some shit?
If you could find anyone in the world that can poop without peeing, then you're the most unbelievable person
in the
world.
What if they're dehydrated?
No, it's impossible.
I just want to. Seriously, that's
See,
so
you got to say poop and pee because you can't say pee and poop because you can pee without pooping.
What about a Jack and Coke?
Yeah, I'll take whiskey Coke.
Whiskey Coke.
Yeah, you guys can be peanut butter and jelly, whiskey Coke, but yeah.
Anybody like jelly?
We're not going to go poop and pee.
Oh my God.
This is going to stink.
Again,
there's zero chance. We're editing this.
It's going to stink.
100%.
Oh, literally?
Stick to the wall. First of all, I don't know how you play PlayStation with your big ass paws. That was the thing. I used to have the
big ass paws. Like, my hands are that much bigger than yours when it comes to game controls.
They are.
Your hands are ridiculous.
That sounded really weird. That sounded weird.
I said that. Your hands are ginormous.
Yeah, it didn't make it any better.
Damn.
You know what? Clean it up.
Yeah. We're going to edit. Rob, edit.
We're not edit. Button. Do not edit that. Do not edit that.
Damn it.
Well, I have middle child syndrome.
Oh me too. Geez. I'm a middle child. Me
that
too.
That explains so much about both of you.
Yeah.
What do you think? Like, what does that mean, though?
what is middle child?
What does
syndrome?
It explain about us? That no, you, not what is middle child. You're not a middle child,
you know
so you
exactly
cannot.
What, it means.
What does it explain?
I have studied this syndrome for many years. My brother spent years in jail.
Unless you're a middle child, you don't know. You've got
what
the baby.
About?
You've got the baby syndrome.
No, it's not a baby syndrome. My, yes. I had to go yeah. support my brother through the Arizona penal system and Sheriff Joe Arpaio. So
oh,
yes.
okay, hang on. Go back. What do you? Why do you? What does it explain about Kevin and I being middle child? Middle children.
I really feel like. Anything that I say, you guys are going to take offense to. So I'm just going to. So
way,
just
do I ever take offense to anything that you say?
So I'm just going to come out and say it. No, I just think, you know, both of you guys just, you know, the middle child typically is kind of lost in between. You're not the youngest. You're not the oldest. Channing, stay focused.
With, I am what, focused.
No, but, I agree with you. Like, I always – everybody, you know, has their vice or what they fall back on or something that – is a way, a form of escapism. And so I was lucky to have basketball, sports, whatever. So I had that. But, like, you know, my sister, she was a preemie baby. She was the daughter. She was, you know, the baby of
oh,
the family.
Oh, baby girl.
And then, you know, what's the saying? You never love anybody as much as your firstborn. So my yeah. older brother, you know, was yeah. the firstborn and, you know, the first to go to college and everything. So I was, you know, just stuck in the middle and – you know, there's, yeah, if yeah. You really and, understand and, it if you're a middle child.
Okay.
Ever since,
there's
ever
all, that's
since
only way.
I never thought about it like that because now looking back on my life, that's what I did too.
Yeah.
I always thought of myself as a peacemaker. I'm just a peacemaker. So
that's,
I'm going to do
yell
whatever.
At me all the time. You don't make any peace. You make war.
No, I'm a peacemaker. But now that I think about it, I was always in the gym. I like left. My social circle was very because I always just ran there.
Right.
My parents found me when I was a little girl. There's a picture sitting.
They found you in a box.
floating down.
No, but you
that
know what's
explains
so
a lot.
You know
they found me behind a chair when I was like 3 years old, reading a book upside down with a tear coming down my face because no one would pay attention to me. Right. So you just kind of go
was it
and
Lonesome Dove.
Allie,
the book was upside down.
And
too.
That's how Allie got into
but
sports broadcasting.
Yeah. Right.
Like, everyone, come look at me. Right. Listen to what I say. Yeah.
I can't read, but I can talk.
I can talk.
What are these words?
What are these words? Listen to me.
Hey, all, before we continue, let's check in with our friends at MeUndies. Because get this, they're sending us glow-in-the-dark underwear. Who would have ever guessed anyone made such a thing? I cannot wait to hear what Channing has to say about them. You definitely know he's going to be rocking those.
Hey, guys, this is Rafa. Let me tell you about MeUndies. MeUndies is a great sponsor of ours, and they make feel-good undies your butt will be proud to wear. They will be the most comfortable pair of underwear you will ever own. And to check it out for yourself, you can go to MeUndies.com/road. Let me tell you, they have tons of styles and patterns to choose from for both men and ladies. And MeUndies will have the perfect fit for any personality. And we all know here, just in this show, we have so many different personalities. The MeUndies feeling is unmatched because they use a naturally soft fabric that is 3 times softer than cotton. And for a limited time only, check out MeUndies' first ever glow-in-the-dark print. It's lights out. Channing already has his pair for this Halloween. If you want to update your underwear drawer, why not do it with a glow and, at the same time, with a lot of comfort? And if underwear isn't your thing, remember, MeUndies also makes the softest socks in the world. For me personally, my experience with MeUndies has been great for a lot of reasons. First of all, because Channing and I always talk about the diamond-shaped cup that protects the family jewels. But I gotta tell you, they don't shrink, they stay comfortable, and they feel just like new after you've been wearing them for a while. So if you want to get a comfortable pair of underwear, if you want to get a hip comfortable pair of underwear, if you want to get a hip comfortable and soft pair of underwear, go to MeUndies.com/road. Right now, they have an offer 20% off for the best and softest underwear and socks you will ever own. Free shipping and 100% satisfaction guaranteed. MeUndies.com/road. Exclusive offer for all you guys. Remember, MeUndies.com/road. And now let's get back to road tripping.
These words are mine, Channing, and I'm here to tell you as much as I hate seeing something so special come to an end. Oh, wait, we aren't done yet. You guys want more? That's what I thought. Shall we activate?
So people back home that don't know. So when I first came into this league, the way the league would go is, like, if you played 4 games in 5 nights, basically you would wake up in the morning at 9, you would have a breakfast meeting at 10, you would get up, you would go through film, and you would go through a walkthrough of the team that you were about to play, and then that would be it. You would go back to your room, sleep for another 4 hours, then go try and play. But the way the game has changed and guys have gotten smarter is we call it activation. So you wake up at like 10, you go to the weight room, you might ride a bike for 15 minutes, you might walk on the treadmill for 10 minutes, you might do some core strengthening. You know, you just might do something to wake your body up. It's better than just being, you know, having your body just kind of sit there and be stagnant for 8 hours and then trying to rev it back up and go play the game.
Does someone like Kyrie?
I was just trying to be a good vet when I suggested it to Kyrie. We're going to Portland. You got to activate.
It was a rough night.
I don't know if even everyone knows about the conditions in which
let's
tell everybody about Ky.
Tough game in Utah. Tough game is always hard going in Utah to play. We get on a flight, everyone's settled in, you know, and then we start hearing whispers. You start hearing whispers from everyone. Oh, we're not going to get out of here.
I'm grumpy.
You're grumpy. Everyone's like, we got to go to sleep. So Cobra, Snake Man, you know, we'll introduce him in another podcast. But he's over there getting the extract with all the people, and he's like, you know what? We're going to fly up to Seattle. Everyone's throwing out very unrealistic ideas.
Yeah.
Let's go to L.A. Let's go to Vegas for the night. Fly to Portland in the morning. Play the game. You know, we might as well just play the game in Seattle. They got an arena out there. Like, all these unrealistic expectations, we end up going in the air. I don't blame the pilot. He got me there safely, but he lied to me.
He told me we were
going to land in Seattle.
Yeah.
And we were in Portland.
We all thought we were landing in Seattle.
Everybody was not.
Every team. Nobody so Portland, did. Mind you people, Portland was in L.A. So the one good thing for us, at least we felt better about, is that Portland wasn't sitting there waiting on us. Portland was sitting in LA. They couldn't get out. We're sitting in Utah. We couldn't get out. It was an ESPN game?
Yeah, it was an ESPN
game. It was an ESPN game. So the game was going to be played. Like, there was no doubt. So when we take off, like Kyrie said, we're going to Seattle. We have the hotels. We have everything. And somewhere mid-flight.
Have you ever experienced that
never.
First?
No.
Never.
No. That was weird. I didn't go to bed till 5:30. We woke up for a meeting at 11, I think, right? Or 12. So, and then, you know, RJ tells me to go activate. I activate. I'm feeling good about myself. I'm coming into the meeting like, yeah, I activate. And then I go back to my room and I can't go back to sleep. So I come to the arena and I'm just tired as God knows what. And then, you know.
Activated in terms of you went to the gym.
Went on a bike for 5 miles. I did some slides. You know, got the blood going on the treadmill. So,
you know.
Feel good about myself.
Well, I will tell you this, and I promise you this, at 36 years old, you're not there yet. If I don't activate.
Oh, God.
I'm shooting. I don't know what I would be shooting if I didn't activate. It would be God awful.
When you think about this, we're beating Toronto. We have the same record during the regular season. We're almost tied at the end of three quarters. Coach says, hey, Channing, this is not your time. Sacrifice for a team. I say, Coach, I got you.
Channing, Coach said those words to you? Please, he looked at me. Come on, man. Let me tell my story.
It sounded good.
He looked at me in the eye, and that's what his body language said. Like, everyone listening, you guys think I'm mean to Channing. Like, he was about to tell a bold face. Like, he has a smile from ear to ear.
Let's hear it anyway.
You know I'm joking.
Let's hear it anyway.
It sounded good. I want to hear where he's going.
Dude, it sounded like who's yours?
Oh, jeez.
Well, you have to pick your poison, and it's a very poisonous snake. I'm just going to say. Yeah. It is, and the head of that snake is Bron and Ky.
We're like the rainforest. You don't know what to touch.
Oh, jeez.
So you go from the sharks.
That's a great.
That's a lot of poisonous things in a rainforest, dog.
What rainforest? Planet Life with Oprah? What rainforest?
Y'all seen it, right?
No, what rainforest?
Yeah, we sued it. Oh,
what rainforest?
The crowd agrees with me.
I'm just asking what rainforest.
The rainforest in South America.
What?
The Amazon.
In Brazil.
Yeah.
We getting that.
I know. We're just.
Poisonous toes? Poisonous.
Poisonous toes?
Toads.
Toads? There's poisonous toads there?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, there are. I mean, yes. Do I? Thank you. This guy, see what happens when you don't get your degree, kids. Doesn't know about the world. That was in the senior year class.
Yeah, that was a senior year class.
That
he
was a senior
take that.
Class, the poisonous toad.
Poisonous toad 103.
What'd you get your degree in?
Anthropology.
And that is a study of what?
People. It's actually quite awesome. What's your degree? Oh.
I got a degree.
Next segment.
Neil Armstrong.
Yes.
The fact that his footprints don't look the same comparatively to the boots that there are in the museum is ridiculous.
How do you know that?
You can look it up. I look up these stuff. I look up these things all the time.
Okay.
His boot print is not the same. So you want me to really sit back after you've proven it to me, and they have a picture of it and his boots side by side. I need an explanation.
Well, there's dust and
there's
cosmic winds.
Have
you not seen Armageddon?
In Moon.
Have you not seen Armageddon? They were going to put
what is
cosmic
this, Transformers?
Winds.
No,
they're
Dark Side of the Moon. No, but I have a very firm belief that what they're putting out in front of us is there for a reason. It just depends on whether you want to believe in the truth or not.
Exactly.
The fact that they can make all these movies with alien descriptions and really, they're not going
nobody's
off
that
strictly,
imaginative. Nobody is
strictly
that imaginative.
Just brain power, and this is just creative things that we're going to put out to everybody. To what? Ultimately put an alien movie out for what?
Wait right here. Okay. So this is what I want to get at.
Let's get at it.
Kyrie Irving, do you believe there are aliens?
Okay. Yes.
I'm asking. Okay, yes.
I believe there are. Yes.
Channing Frye, do you believe there are aliens?
I don't even want to say aliens. I just want to say that there are extraterrestrial beings
100%.
That exist. Or there are other
universe.
In the universe.
Yes, I would agree.
I
would agree with that. In the vast universe.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I would say yes.
Do you believe the Earth is round?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You believe that Earth is round?
Yes, but I heard the new one that the Earth
There's
is
no new one. There is no new one.
Okay, I heard some crazy
one.
My boy
is huge into that. Do you believe that we are?
This is going to sound crazy. Ben Diggles, this is a shout out to you. He came to us and he listens to Super Conspiracy Theory Guy.
This is not even conspiracy.
The Earth is flat.
Yeah, no, the Earth is flat.
Oh, God, here we go.
The Earth is flat. Earth is flat.
Have you ever had vertigo? The Earth is not flat.
Let's
go. Come on,
Let's
Kai.
Go.
No, say, I'm just
the
saying.
Earth
that,
is
say,
not flat.
No,
let's
that,
hear
that
this.
All these things, all these things that particular groups, I won't even pinpoint one group, that they almost offer up this education. The fact that in our lifetimes that there are so many holes and so many pockets
in our history,
in our history,
unbelievable.
But by the way, I want
to
go.
Let's
I want
to
say that
the
there is just history. I don't want to dictate it to one race, dictate it to any one particular type of people or anything like that. History is history, and it's happened long before us, and it's going to happen after us. And it always repeats itself somehow, in some way.
Yeah, because we're stupid.
All these things that they keep giving to us,
all this
BS. Information.
They're giving us bad hamburgers from McDonald's, dog.
You like the hamburgers.
I don't eat the hamburgers. I'm only
that you
chicken
can compare
sandwich.
To watching your child be born, yeah.
I have three, so I've seen a lot of things.
I'm just saying that these things that ultimately used to put me in fear, in this thing, and it used to be like, oh, man. It makes you not want to question it naturally.
Yes.
Because of how much information you actually can figure out and how much information there actually is out there.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You can – anything that you have a particular question on, okay, is the world flat? Is the Earth flat or round?
Yeah.
I think you need to do research on it. Like, ultimately.
But who's
I'm not
to
gonna,
say the research that you do is – going to give you the answer? Like,
oh, it's,
who actually
oh, it's
has the answer?
Because it's right in front of our faces. I'm telling you, it's right in front of our faces. They lie to us.
Who?
So, wait.
That's
wait.
What I'm saying.
The
that,
man.
That's the question. It's not the man. It's not the man. It's not the man. It's not the man. What are we in a 1998 movie? Yeah, the man. Oh, wait. I was just talking to somebody about the man the other day. I got mad at him the other day. Yeah, the man. He's holding me down.
That
what were we saying?
So wait, Kai. So
it took me off. It took me off.
This is great.
So, oh, who are they?
Yeah.
They. Okay.
Kai, real quick. Okay, real quick. Do you believe the Earth is round or flat?
Look, for what I've known for as many years, and
what
I've come to believe, what I've been taught is that the Earth is round.
Yes.
But I mean, if you really think about it from a landscape of the way we travel, the way we move. And the fact that can you really think of us rotating around the sun and all planets aligned, rotating in specific dates, being perpendicular with what's going on with these planets, and stuff like this.
How are you going to put planets in quotations?
I'm going to put planets because everything that they send or they want to say that they're sending.
They thought Pluto was a planet until like 4 years ago.
It doesn't come back. There's no concrete information except for the information that they're giving us. They're particularly putting you in a direction of what to believe and what not to believe. And the truth is right there. You just got to go searching for it.
Allie,
searching for it for a while.
Do you remember that kid in school that would get the freshest pair of shoes, but then like 4 months later still had those same shoes, but he'd wear them all the time? That's me.
That was you?
Yeah, that's me. I'm wearing them outside, rain, sleet, or snow. Channing is snowing. Don't matter. They got grip.
Channing is definitely snowing.
Remember how he was disrespecting the Jordans? How he was disrespecting the Jordans? They were like dirty at the bottom.
Yeah, weird. That's love. I wear my shoes.
It's Channing, you've always worn like a low-top shoe, though.
Because he's
a
guard.
You're a guard?
You're a guard. Yes. He's a 7-foot guard.
Two guard.
I've evolved this year. I rolled to the hoop. Checked the film. No. I eat glass like a magician. And I rolled to the hoop. That's what I do now. No. I operate out the post.
It took me a half second to get the reference.
You eat glass like a magician.
Right? That's what I do now. That's what we need. That's what I do.
No. I think, okay, how about this? Okay, when you're from the suburbs, right? You have a different attitude from the kids than from the hood, because everyone goes, "Oh, you're from the burbs. You've had everything, and everything is given to you, and you don't deserve nothing." And like they have that attitude. So if you're from the burbs, you think, "Man, fuck you. I've earned this as much as you have, because at the end of the day, I still got to do what I got to do." Right? I'm going.
I don't know where he's going. I don't know where he's going with this.
No, finish.
So finish.
Like, no, finish.
Please. Finish.
So, I'm going to say, okay, this is where I'm going to go with this. As they have destroyed the whole.
I'm so glad you're here, Kev. I've been with him for like days straight. I'm so glad you're here.
So what happened? You came from the suburbs?
No.
Tell us about the hard. Tell us about the hard life at private school.
The kids from the inner city made fun.
because both my parents had college educations, they made fun of me. Only my dad worked.
I didn't have a traditional African American name.
Please. I got a car. I got a car when I was 16. And it was so hard.
It was a Camry.
But it was used. It was hard. It was so hard.
They lost me there. It was not a Camry.
It was a Dodge Durango. Right? I remember it.
It was not.
What was it? It wasn't a Durango?
No.
What was it?
A Stratus.
It was a Chevy pickup.
When did you have the Durango?
Not till like after I got my college scholarship.
Oh, my God.
Good try.
So it's 17.
I never car like that till I was like my junior year.
Oh, man. See, this is where all the hostility stems. See, now that we're making fun of him, this is where he starts. Right.
I love jokes. That was very funny.
Oh, my God.
But your facts.
Have you ever met anybody that doesn't like jokes?
That was funny.
I don't think Allie likes jokes right now. I think Allie is completely over any and all jokes right now. Anything that's remotely funny.
Allie, so let me ask you this. Could you pat glass? Are you a glass patter? Straight up.
I've never
tried.
Nope, we haven't, Kev. So for the sweet soul who thought he was in the clear, who thought he wouldn't have to take any more shots due to Channing using his favorite line, here's to you, our friend.
By the way, do you know this?
What?
Some kid said that they started a drinking game whenever time you give a shout out or say holla at your boy, they drink.
Well, holla at your boy, holla at your boy, holla at your boy.
And with on that,
holla at your boy.
That's another addition.
That will never get old. What a time we have had. Again, we are so sad to see something so special to us, to all of you, come to an end. But from us, one last time, from the bottom of our hearts, Richard, Channing, Rafa, and myself, we really want to thank you for allowing us to do what we originally set out to do, for putting up with us from the very beginning, the audio issues, to us taking chances eating while we were recording, the off-the-wall shit we had to say, for venting, for laughing hysterically, and for sometimes giving you more of an insight into our lives than we probably should have. What you allowed us to do was live out our motto to the fullest with no regret, unfiltered, raw, and real. Always remember that what you heard from us was none other than, of course, us simply telling our stories that no one else could. Road tripping fam, from us to you, we say, so long. We love you.